Karatik by the sweet arrangement of the Lord. He has provided many wonderful festivals for devotees to celebrate. We were describing last Sunday the great significance of this month of Karatik. In Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains that one name of Srimati Radharani, who was the bestower of bhakti or devotion, is Urjeshwari. She is the supreme controller who gives the supreme personality of Godhead the ultimate enjoyment. And this month is also known as the month of Karatik or Urja, named after Srimati Radharani. And Rupa Goswami explains Urja Vrata is the vows that people keep during this month to increase their devotional service. The more we minimize our material necessities in life, the more we have the mental and physical energy to dedicate to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So actually all vows we take are to minimize our sense gratification and to maximize hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord and becoming the servant of the servant of his servants. And today, according to our Gaudiya Vaishnav calendar, it is Bahulastami. If you remember, Krishna was born on Janamastami. Srimati Radharani appeared on Radhastami. And on this day of Bahulastami, both Radha and Krishna appeared again in the holy land of Brajbhumi in the forms of Shamakund and Radhakund. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that in this whole planet of Earth, in the whole universe, the Earth is a very sacred place, because the personality of Godhead has descended time and time again upon this earth. And within the planet, India, or the land of Bharat, is the most important, most sacred place, because it is here that the spiritual culture has been revealed and is emanating into the rest of the world. There was once a great Chinese teacher of religion, and he wrote a very famous book describing all the various religions in the world. And in this book, at the beginning, he said, if you actually want to understand what is real religion, you have to go to India, because that is the land of Dharma. That is the place of religion. So India is considered the most sacred part of the world. And of all India, the most sacred place is Mathura, because it is in the vicinity of Mathura that the Supreme Lord has appeared in his original form of Sri Krishna. And in all the parts of Mathura, Vrindavan is considered to be the holiest of all places, because it is in the forest of Vrindavan that Krishna performs his most exalted pastimes with his devotees. And within the forest of Vrindavan, Govardhan is considered the holiest place, because Govardhan, Krishna lifted with the little finger of his left hand, held it for 7 days, and also the forests of Govardhan were the places where in all the various rasas Krishna performed the most wonderful pastimes. And in the vicinity of Govardhan, the supreme most of all holy place is Radhakund. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas, as well as the scriptures themselves, explain that Sri Radha Kund is the holiest of all holy places in all of existence. So we would like to speak briefly a little of the history of this glorious place and how the appearance took was revealed within this world. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Shukadeva Goswami gives the beautiful narration of how Kamsa was sending so many asuras to try to kill the various young children that were born because he feared that some one of them was destined to kill him. One such demon was Aristasura. He was in the form of a terrible, terrible bull. You know, when a big, big bull comes walking down the road, everyone stands aside because they are very powerful. But Aristasura was such a bull. He was so big in his size. He was huge, like a mountain. In fact, the hump on his back was in the clouds. And his eyes were fiercely red with anger. And he came running, galloping into Vrindavan. And as he was doing, he was literally tearing the earth with his hooves. And all of the excavated places were being totally destroyed by his massively sharp horns. And he was making such bellowing sounds that it was so loud. And as people heard him and saw him, the young ladies and the cows that happened to be pregnant with children in their wombs, they all had miscarriages out of fear. And the entire earth was trembling and shaking as an earthquake. As he was running, the residents of Vrindavan, they did not know what to do. They came in from the pastures and they all approached Krishna. And they prayed, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, you are the only shelter we have. Please save us." This is the nature of a devotee. In this world, there will be conditions of life that are beyond our control. Old age, disease, and death are beyond our control. What to speak of within our daily activities? There are so many dangers, there are so many sufferings, there are so many problems and predicaments that will come upon us, whoever we are, whether we're a small child or whether we are a king or a president. Everyone must suffer from pain and problems in this world. And intelligence, knowledge, is revealed to us in the scriptures that the only solution is to turn to Krishna. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha nirdarshanam. The real problems are birth, old age, disease, and death. And it is only Krishna that can save us from the real problems, or ultimately from any of the real problems of life. So in Krishna consciousness, we are trained to turn to Krishna for shelter. In materialistic society, we are trained to turn to our own intelligence, or our own material efforts, or our own resources, or the intelligence, resources, or material efforts of others, maybe the government, maybe our parents, maybe our friends, maybe some society. But this is a great illusion. No doubt that God helps those who help themselves. Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, was very strong that no devotee can be lazy. If you are lazy, you are not following Krishna's plan. Every devotee must work very hard with all possible intelligence in whatever that devotee does. Srila Prabhupada wanted his temples that no one is just sleeping, no one is just eating. But people are working harder than the people in the ordinary world, but for the highest purpose of life. To purify their hearts, to create a wonderful spiritual atmosphere in the temple, and to go out and bring more and more and more people to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada was always pushing that we do more and more and more. Even in his own life, sometimes he would say, work now, samadhi later. But actually, in Krishna consciousness, our work is our samadhi. In the spiritual world, you never see pictures of the gopis sleeping or sitting in silent meditation. They're always working. They're either milking the cows, or they're churning the butter, or the cowherd boys. Their work is play, but they're always active. In the spiritual world, work is play, and play is work, in the sense that it is all blissful because it is for the pleasure of Krishna. They are dancing together. So this is our work, dancing in ecstasy, chanting very attentively, keeping nice care of the deities, keeping the temple perfectly clean, and broadcasting the message through distribution of books, distribution of prasadam, distribution of Krishna's mercy in every possible way. And the grihasthas, the congregational devotees connected to the temple, they should also be working hard, but not like the asses of the material world. An ass works hard to get some grass, just to eat. If we are working hard just for a place to stay and just for something to eat or for some pleasure of the senses and the mind, it is the work of the beast of burden. We should be working hard to facilitate the outreach of Krishna consciousness in other people's lives. We should establish a beautiful home where there is simple living and high thinking established, where everyone in the family is living very pure, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no talking all nonsense, no listening to all nonsense. And that means, obviously, almost everything except maybe one or two shows on the television and the radios, it is all nonsense. The television has become the Ishtadev in most families today. In the West, it's been the Ishtadev for many years. But now in India, they are installing. People are sitting, worshipping, putting their attention. Krishna says, Man Manabhava Madhbhakta. So we come to the temple to think of Krishna, to see Krishna, to hear Krishna. But now everyone is, the television is saying, always think of me. Offer your homage to me. And that is how people are living. They turn and then they just, darshan. But what is such a darshan? Maya, from all over the world, she's sending her agents and representatives to delude your consciousness all in this one little form. It is a very, very difficult situation. So our home should be a holy place, a place where everyone is being illuminated with spiritual consciousness. We should have the deity. The family should come together before the deity and sing beautiful bhajans, and read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and offer arti, and offer bhoga, and take prasad, and invite devotees to come, and friends to come. Invite friends and tell them how wonderful is Krishna. Here is our Ishtadev, Radha and Krishna, Gaura Nithai. And in this way, our life becomes peaceful, blissful, purified. This is civilization. And this was the great gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us all on behalf of all of the acharyas. How we could all be very, very active to serve Krishna and to show the greatest compassion to the miserable people who have forgotten Krishna in this world. Para upakar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained like this, that the greatest welfare work is to revive a person's spiritual consciousness. So we must be very busy. We must be very sincere in this way. So, Aristasura came into Vrindavan, and all the devotees, they understood that the only real solution to our problems is turning to Krishna. Therefore, all of our activities, all of our thoughts in life, whether we are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, or sannyasis, should be aimed at serving Krishna, seeking shelter of Krishna. In Krishna consciousness, it becomes natural. When something sudden happens, some fearful situation, a devotee will just, as his instinctive nature, go, Krishna! Hare Krishna! Yes? When a fear comes, Hare Krishna! When a danger comes, Hare Krishna! We naturally turn to Krishna for shelter, because Krishna is the only shelter. So in this way, all the devotees approached Krishna. And Krishna stood before this terrible, terrible demon, Aristasura. And he spoke. He said, "You fool! What makes you think that you can come into my village of Vrindavan and cause so much suffering to my devotees? Today you will be punished." And Aristasura, when he heard Krishna speak these words, he became even more angry. And then Krishna, just to really agitate him, instead of getting in a fighting posture, he leaned his arm against one of his friends and in a very relaxing pose just waited for Aristasura to approach him. This is a great insult. Because here he is, bigger than a mountain. He was running so fast that his tail was raised and it was blocked by the clouds. And the whole earth was trembling. And there was terrible hot airs coming out of his nostrils. And his eyes were red with anger. And his horns were down. And he's charging right at Krishna. And he's relaxing with his friend. And then Krishna very, very gracefully, he took Aristasura by horns and he threw him for some distance. And Aristasura landed on the ground. And then when he got up, he was more angry than ever. Now he was breathing very hard. His entire body was covered with perspiration. And he charged at Krishna with all of his force. And then Krishna again took him by horns and flipped him on the ground, and with his beautiful lotus foot, he kicked him. He started kicking him again and again. For the gopis, the lotus feet of Krishna are so soft that they are weeping in the daytime, thinking that Krishna is in the pasture and he's stepping on little stones and he's stepping on pebbles. And even maybe a thorn may touch him. And his foot is so soft, how can we bear the thought of it? But to Aristasura, it was like thunderbolts crashing against him. And it said Krishna was just beating him like one beats out a wet cloth. You've seen when you wash clothes, you beat wet cloth. It's just... like a wet cloth. There's no other way to explain. So he became wet cloth. And then Krishna pulled out one of the horns and beat him with that. And then Aristasura's eyes began to bulge out and roll. And then he began to vomit blood. And then profusely, he just began to pass large amounts of stool and urine simultaneously everywhere. And then he entered into the abode of death. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. And after killing Aristasura, then all the demigods were so happy that they began to shower flowers upon Krishna and chant his glories. And the cowherd boys were dancing ecstatically to see the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. And after this, Krishna and Balaram entered again into the town of Nandagram from the pasture grounds. And they were greeted by Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj. And of course, like every other day, everyone was simply celebrating and singing the wonderful glories of Krishna and Balaram. We should always understand that society of devotees is always reminding each other of Krishna. That is what society of devotees mean. Other societies, there are societies where people talk about their businesses. There are societies where lawyers talk about legal matters. There are societies where politicians talk about politics. There are societies where people talk about different welfare services for people on the material platform. But a society of devotees are always reminding each other of Krishna. And Krishna has performed so many wonderful, wonderful activities and given us so many teachings that there's no end to how much we can describe his glories. And the fact is, any one of his teachings or any one of his pastimes is so full and so rich with ecstasy that we can speak it for the rest of eternity and never get tired of it if we're actually developing a transcendental taste for spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada, wherever he was going, he was preaching, you are not this body, you are the eternal soul. Dehino smin yatha dehe, komaram yovanam jara, tatha dehantara prabhya dhiras tatra namujata. And every time he would explain, you are not this body, you are the soul. And he would give the example. He was in ecstasy. He was in transcendental ecstasy. And if he had to, sometimes he would say it dozens and dozens of times a day, weeks and months and years at a time. But he never got tired of it. He was never thinking, let me get some new material. Because it is the Word of God. And the Word of God is transcendental. Because the Word of God is none different than God Himself. Srimad Bhagavatam reveals so many wonderful pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. And these pastimes are so transcendental. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spend hours a day at the house of Gadadhar Pandit hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And the story of Prahlad, the story of Dhruva, he would just ask him to repeat it again and again and again and again. It gets sweeter every time you hear. So when devotees come together, they are excited to discuss the glories of Krishna, discuss the teachings of Krishna, go deeper and deeper into the philosophy, go deeper and deeper into his pastimes, discuss so many wonderful ways of serving the spiritual master and serving the Vaishnavas and having wonderful seva for the deities and for the devotees. This is the conversation amongst us. And the culmination is always the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the essence of all the Vedic knowledge. The Vedas were revealed by Krishna to Brahma through Gayatri Mantra, and then Brahma expanded it. And Vedavyas, he began to write And how he expanded from one Veda to four Vedas, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda, then the Upanishads, 108 principal Upanishads. Then there were 18 Puranas, the Itihastas, the Vedanta Sutra, the Mahabharata. He explained, he just expanded more and more and more the transcendental wisdom of the Vedas. But then he revealed to us, Iti sohata sakam nam nam kali kalmashana sanam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That this Maha Mantra is the all knowledge of all Vedas is contained in this one mantra, and the realization of the perfection of the Vedas is realized through this mantra. Vedaishta sarveraham eva vedanta krit veda vedeva cham. Krishna said, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So therefore, devotees never tire chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Same three words, Hare Krishna and Rama. We chant 16 rounds every day, minimum, initiated devotees. For new people, we urge you to take mala and begin chanting one round. And besides the malas that you are chanting, devotees are always singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, wherever they go, whatever they're doing. Haridas Thakur was chanting the Maha Mantra 300,000 times a day, minimum, before eating or drinking or sleeping. That means over 190 rounds, something like that. And yet never getting tired, because Krishna is non-different than his name. Therefore we are satisfied coming together and chanting Hare Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, that was their full-time occupation, singing the glories of Krishna and discussing the activities of Krishna amongst themselves. So Krishna was put to sleep in his home in Nandagram by Yashoda, Mayi, Nanda Maharaj. It is actually explained that Aristasura came to Vrindavan at the time of dusk, just when the sun was setting. That was just before Krishna would go home from the pastures. But Krishna wouldn't go to sleep. His parents thought he went to sleep. He would pretend to be asleep. And then when they were asleep, he would go out. And he would go to Govardhan. And he would play his flute. And gopis would come. Now this wonderful pastime is considered by the greatest renunciates and acharyas to be the most perfect aspiration of pure love. But on this particular night, the gopis said, Krishna, you cannot associate with us because you killed a bull. And a bull is a male cow. And you are supposed to be Govinda, the protector of cows. And you killed cow. Therefore, we cannot associate with you. Today, everywhere, people are killing cows. Especially in the Western world, and it's coming to the East. But to associate with people who have any connection to such an activity is very contaminating to the consciousness. Because it is explained in the Shastra that anyone who either kills the animal or cooks it or transports it or eats it or sells it or buys it, they are all responsible to accept the sin of murder. That is the law of God. The governments can pass whatever laws they want, but the laws of karma will still act upon you. So So the gopis, they said, you killed a cow, therefore you cannot touch us. And Krishna said, but this cow is a demon. It wasn't an ordinary cow. He would have killed all of you. Maybe he was a demon, but still he was a male cow, so we cannot touch you. So Krishna said, well, what do I have to do? They said, you have to go to every single holy place in the entire universe, and you have to take your bath to become purified. So Krishna, he didn't want to leave Vrindavan. So what he did is he took his lotus foot and he pressed it on the ground and made a nice impression in the ground. And then he called all the holy places and he said to gopis that I will bring all the holy places here. And then within moments, every holy place in the universe in its personified form came with folded palms. And Krishna said, you see, these are all the holy places. And the gopis said, we don't believe you. So then Krishna told, holy places, you tell them who you are. And then each one was coming forward. I am the river Ganga. I am the river Jamuna. I am Prayag. I am Ayodhya. I am Sarayu. I am the Tamparini. In this way, I am the salt ocean. I am the milk ocean. They all introduced themselves. And then they all entered into the lotus footprint of Krishna and filled it into a beautiful kund. And that became known as Sham Kund. And then Krishna very joyfully took his bath in this Sham Kund. And after he came out, he said, now I am purified, but you are contaminated. Because you sided with a demon. You sided with Aristasura. And if you side with someone, you have to take the responsibility. So then Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they saw just close to where Krishna made his Shamakund, there was some hoof prints of Aristasura. So they went to those hoof prints and started digging with their hands and digging with their bangles, and they made a beautiful, beautiful little lake. It was so nice. But the problem, there was no water. So Krishna said, oh, this is a very beautiful lake you have made. Now take some water from my lake. And the gopi said, no, because your lake water is contaminated by the sin of your killing a bull. So Srimati Radharani had millions of gopi friends, and they all started bringing water from Manasa Ganga, which is some kilometers away near Govardhan, in the center of Govardhan. And as they were working very hard, Krishna looked upon the holy places, and all of the holy places personified assumed one form. And this one form approached Srimati Radharani with folded hands and profuse tears flowing from eyes, saying, you are the supreme goddess of fortune. You are the supreme embodiment of love and devotion, and ultimately you are the reservoir of all mercy. Even Lord Brahma, even Lord Shiva cannot understand your glories. It is only Krishna that can understand your glories. And it is that Krishna who has sent for us. And we see that he is worshipping your lotus feet. And we cannot tolerate to see the perspiration that is growing upon you in bringing this water from a distant place. So please understand that the fulfillment of all our desires is if you are merciful to us. So Sri Radharani said, what would you like? And they said, we want to fill your kund with our water. So Srimati Radharani said, please come. And when she said that, the water from Shamakund overflowed from Shamakund and just merged and filled Sri Radha Kund. And then Krishna said that your kund is more beautiful than mine. In fact, the same love I have for you, I have for this kund, Radha Kund. And Srimati Radharani said that anyone who takes bath in this kund, I will give them the same love that I have for you. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, Radha Kund and Shama Kund are existing. And it is explained that the love of Radha and the love of Krishna melted their hearts to such an extent that they formed the liquid and filled those two kunds. And it was on midnight of Bahulastami today that Radha Kund was filled with the waters of all the holy places. And in Vrindavan on this night, it is one of the biggest festivals. Tens and thousands of people go there at midnight to take their bath and to worship the wonderful appearance of Srimati Radharani, who is none different than Sri Radha Kund. And this became the regular place where they would perform their beautiful Rasleela. Sometime after Krishna decided to make the end of his earthly pastimes, after killing Dantavakra in Mathura, he went to Vrindavan and he took all the residents of Vrindavan back to the spiritual world of Goloka. So Vrindavan was practically nobody left. He took everyone back to Godhead. So the holy places were lost. And then some years later, from near Dwarka, Krishna left this world, just like the sun sets in the western horizon. Krishna disappeared from the vision of the world. And one of his descendants, his great-grandson of the name Vajranab, he went to Delhi. At that time it was Hastinapur. And Maharaj Parikshit made Vajranab the king of the whole Mathura area. So when Vajranab went to Mathura in Vrindavan, all of the devotees who were there were telling him that the holy places have been lost. Can you re-excavate them? Because you are Krishna's great-grandson. So he was looking and searching for the holy places, but he couldn't find a single one of them. And one day, in great anxiety, he sat on the bank of the river Jamuna, and he began to pray to his great-grandfather Krishna, please, please, please help me to rediscover all the places you performed your wonderful leela. And he made this prayer under a kalpa vriksha tree. And by the grace of that kalpa vriksha tree, everything became revealed to him. And Vajranab began to explain and excavate each place throughout Brajbhumi. And he came to Radha Kund and Sham Kund. And he found two small ponds of water, and he excavated them into very nice little ponds, holy places. That was about 5,000 years ago. As the centuries and the millenniums took place by the power of time, many of the holy places of Vrindavan were lost. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna himself, he came to Vrindavan. And it's very interesting, because Lord Chaitanya personally asked Rupa and Sanatana and the Goswamis to excavate the holy place. But there was one place that he wanted to find himself, and that was Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. So he went to the place called Aritha Gram, and there he was asking all the villagers, but nobody knew where it was. Even the Brahmin who was traveling with Lord Chaitanya had no idea where is Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. In the Puranas it is declared to be the holiest of all holy places, but still no one knew. So near Govardhan Hill, in this village which was then called Aritha Gram, Lord Chaitanya sat under a tamal tree. And being Krishna himself, ultimately he knows everything. So sitting under the tamal tree, he saw two little reservoirs of water in the middle of a paddy field, which no one took seriously to be anything. They were totally neglected. And he understood that this was Shyamakund and Radha Kund. And in great ecstasy, he began to bathe in these little ponds. And the local people could not understand why this great sannyasi is bathing here in the middle of a field. And as he was bathing, he was in such ecstasy, weeping in transcendental love, and he began to offer beautiful, beautiful prayers. That as Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna, similarly Radha Kund is most dear to Krishna. The glories of Radharani are all fully manifested within her most favorite Kund, Sri Radha Kund. And after this, he took the mud from Radha Kund and decorated his body with tilak, and then he began to dance in transcendental ecstasy on the banks, chanting the holy name. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis came to Vrindavan, and later on Raghunath Das Goswami came. Raghunath Das Goswami was given by Lord Chaitanya his own Govardhan Shila, a stone from Govardhan Hill, that he worshipped as his deity and his life and soul. So the Goswamis, by their transcendental wisdom, understood that because Lord Chaitanya gave the deity of Govardhan to Raghunath Das, he is meant to be in charge of the area of Govardhan Hill. So they asked him to make his residence on the banks of Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. At that time, Radha Kund and Shyam Kund were still in the same situation that Lord Chaitanya left them. They were just little ponds in a paddy field. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he would chant at least 1 lakh of names a day. He would offer his obeisances to the deity minimum 1,000 times per day. He would offer his obeisances and embrace the Vaishnavas minimum 2,000 times a day. And in separation of Lord Chaitanya, he would hardly eat anything except some little bit of fruit. Maybe some milk. And later on, he was taking hardly even a little buttermilk every few days. And all of his sleeping, eating, going to bathroom, all of his bodily necessities, maximum 90 minutes per day. And the rest of the time, he was immersed in doing seva to the Vaishnavas and chanting Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
But one day he was thinking that if we can excavate these kunds and make them bigger in size with nice ghats, then more and more people will come to take advantage of this holy place. But then he was thinking that this is a materialistic desire, so he took it out of his mind. Meanwhile, one very, very wealthy man He went all the way to Himalayas, Badrikashram, to worship the deity of Badrinath. And he had large, large money he wanted to offer to the Badrinath Murti. But at night, while he was resting, the deity of Badrinath appeared to him and told him that you should go to Vrindavan. Excavate Radhakund and Shyamakund. So he went. And Raghunath Das was sitting doing his bhajan. And this rich man came and said, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared to me and told me to give you all this money to excavate Radhakund and Shyamakund. So Raghunath Das Goswami said, yes, this is very good. Such great souls. He didn't have to go out and work for money. He was just chanting Hare Krishna and everything was coming. But Prabhupada said, you cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. If you can live sleeping, eating, if you can eat one drop of buttermilk every 3 or 4 days, and if you can get about an hour rest a day, and if you can offer obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas, 1,000 times to the Murti, chant at least 100,000 of rounds a day, and constantly be shedding tears of ecstasy of love, then Krishna will send you everything. You just chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, you do what you're told by the Lord and His servants. So, Raghunath Das Goswami personally arranged wonderful excavation of Radhakund and Shyamakund as we see today. The picture of Radhakund and Shyamakund is now so graciously appeared on the altar of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. But one day Raghunath Das Goswami was thinking that the local people, they use the water of Radhakund and Shyamakund for all purposes. Sometimes they even use the water to clean themselves and to wash their vessels and everything like this. So he was thinking, this is not good. This water is so sacred. It is the love of Radha and Krishna. So he decided to excavate a well close to Radhakund. And he had these devotees digging and digging and digging, and they hit a piece of rock, and the rock began to bleed. So Raghunath Das Goswami was thinking, we should stop here. And that night, Krishna appeared to him as Govardhan and said that Govardhan Hill is the body of the Lord. And Shyamakund and Radhakund are the eyes of Govardhan. And you have just hit the tongue. That is why it is bleeding. Now you take the tongue out and put it on an altar and worship it. So that rock he took out and put it, and if you go, even today, it is on a beautiful little altar, and it is worshipped by all devotees who go on pilgrimage to this holy spot. He was so absorbed in transcendental devotional service that sometimes Raghunath Das Goswami would go deeper and deeper into remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he would actually enter into his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world. And one day, Radha and Krishna asked him in his meditation, they actually appeared to him internally in his heart, and asked him to make sweet rice for them. So in his original spiritual form, he took milk, and he took rice, and he took sugar, and he cooked it, and he offered it. And then Radha and Krishna gave the sweet rice back to him after they took it as Mahaprasad. And he drank it. Now Raghunath Das Goswami, when he went to Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatan told him that you should narrate the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu each and every day on the banks of Radhakund. So for the rest of his life, for a minimum of 3 hours every day, he would sit on those banks and he would discuss the beautiful glories of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings. And everyone knew, because that he was so emaciated, because at this time he was only taking a little few drops of buttermilk every few days. He wouldn't touch anything else. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says that he never allowed his tongue to touch sense gratification throughout his life when he made that vow. So one day the devotees were waiting for him to give his Chaitanya Charitamrita class. And Raghunath was in his kutir. And the devotees asked him, "Are you coming today?" He said, "I'm very sick. Some disorder of my stomach. I'll try, but it's very difficult." So they called some doctors, and the doctors came, and they examined him, and they said, "The problem is he has taken too much milk and rice. This is our diagnosis." And all the Goswamis and the Vrijabhasis were thinking, "These doctors are bogus. He doesn't eat milk and rice. He takes little buttermilk every few days." He said, no, he has eaten sweet rice, too much. They're thinking, Raghunath Das Goswami, overeating? What is this? But Raghunath Das Goswami then told some of the devotees that actually, in my meditation, I ate sweet rice. So this was the power of his devotional service. One time at the banks of Radhakund and Shamakund, Raghunath Das was sitting and chanting the holy names very, very attentively. And Sanatan Goswami was coming to visit him. And as he came, he saw that right at Shamakund there were two tigers drinking water, just very close by to where Raghunath Das was sitting. And Sanatana Goswami saw Krishna appear with a little stick to keep the tigers away from Raghunath Das. And after the tigers left, Krishna left. And Sanatana Goswami said to Raghunath Das, "But what is this that you're supposed to be serving Krishna and Krishna is coming to serve you?" So he was very embarrassed. And another day, it was the noontime and the sun was very, very hot. And Raghunath Das was completely beyond the body. He was just chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Sanatan Goswami happened to be coming on this day. And he saw Srimati Radharani taking her cloth and covering the head of Raghunath Das to give him shade. But while she was doing it, she was standing in the sun. And the sun was beating upon her. And she was transcendentally perspiring very much. And then as the sun was going down, she left. And Sanatana Goswami said to Raghunath Das that as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are following Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Lord Chaitanya's teachings are, we never ask Krishna for anything but how can I serve you? This is the essence of religion. In so many religions of this world, people are taught that whatever you want, you ask God for, because He's the ultimate. You want wife? You worship a god or a demigod. In the Western religions, they don't know what is demigods. But they approach the Supreme God as a demigod. Give me money. Give me good grades in my exams. Give me nice clothes. Give me good athletic abilities. Give me good health. Give me good family. Give me nice car. Everything. God becomes order supplier. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught, na danam na janam na sundarim gavitam vajagadisha kamaye. Mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoite kitvai. He prayed, I do not want any wealth, any money, anything that has to do with that. I do not want beautiful women. I do not want fame and power and followers. I do not even want liberation from suffering. I approach you only for your service. I am your servant. I am meant for your enjoyment. You are not meant for my enjoyment. A devotee is willing to take any risk, to endure any suffering, if it pleases Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, but to please Krishna he left, enduring heart attacks, enduring seasickness, enduring poverty, enduring so much abuse, because it was pleasing to Krishna. He never, ever, ever considered, what about me? If he ever tried to take care of his health, it wasn't to enjoy good health. It was only to facilitate his service to Krishna, his sacrifice to his devotees. That's all. So this is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pung shang paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaji. Ahoyita ki aprati hata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is service to God. But that service must be unmotivated by any selfish desire and uninterrupted by any difficulty that may come in this world in order to satisfy the soul. Real bliss, real happiness can only come in the heart of an unalloyed devotee who wants nothing but the pleasure of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful story of Maharaj Chitraketu. At first, he was a king who wanted a son. Later on, he got a son by the benediction of Angira Muni. But then, the son died. Material life is like that. Whatever you want, if you get it, you're so happy. But you're going to lose it, and then you suffer. The more you're attached to anything or anyone, the more you suffer when they leave. And they will leave. It is the law of nature. So he was so miserable. He couldn't rule his kingdom. He was delirious in anxiety. But then Narada Muni came, and he brought the son to life. And the son spoke to him transcendental knowledge. That actually you're not my father. Krishna's my father. Krishna's your father. We are not these bodies. We are the eternal souls. And then he became a Vaishnava. He became a Hare Krishna devotee. Arivo. But it took some suffering before he realized that he should become Hare Krishna devotee. But then he became blissful. And on one occasion, he somehow said something in love about Lord Shiva and Parvati. Parvati was sitting on his lap, Lord Shiva, and Shiva was preaching to sannyasis about renunciation. You can't blame Chitraketu for saying something. Here are these sannyasis who have nothing to do with Matajis. They've given everything up. They're perfectly celibate, staunch. They're living in the Himalayas near Kailash. And here's Lord Shiva telling them about how to be renounced. with beautiful Parvati sitting on his lap, on his legs. So Chitraketu saw this and he said, ha ha, look at this. And Parvati didn't like, because the nature of a chaste wife is they do not like to hear the husband criticized. They don't mind if they're criticized, but they cannot tolerate their husband being criticized. So she cursed Chitraketu to go to hell and become a demon. And Chitraketu Maharaj was very happy, because now he was transcendental. He bowed down and said, actually, I was really praising your husband. You didn't understand. But nevertheless, it's the will of the Lord. I accept this as a blessing and I will become a demon. As long as I don't forget Krishna, I don't mind. Whatever I go, wherever I go. And Lord Shiva, he preached to Parvati, see what a Vaishnav is. Whether they are in heaven or hell, they don't mind. They're only concerned with pleasing the Lord. They're only concerned with serving the Lord. And when we come to that platform, then we are in our original pure consciousness, and then the ecstasy of the soul is revealed to us. Srila Prabhupada's temples have not been opened to teach people how to come to fulfill their material desires. They have been opened to give some a treasure, a wealth that is millions and billions, infinitely greater than anything this world can ever give you. Transcendental ecstatic love through unalloyed service for the pleasure of the Lord. And that is Sanatana Dharma. People may talk about Sanatana Dharma, but there is only one Sanatana Dharma. The constitutional position of the soul is our Sanatana Dharma. And that is to worship Krishna with unalloyed devotion, to sacrifice our life for the pleasure of God eternally. That is Sanatana Dharma. And that is the only goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan. That is worthy of striving for. So Sanatana Goswami explained to Raghunath Das that we're chanting the holy names so that we can serve Krishna. The Maha Mantra is actually invocation of Krishna's names. But the Acharyas explain in what mood we should chant the names. And they translate the mantra according to the meditation we should have as we are chanting. O Hari, Srimati Radharani, O Krishna, all attractive one, O Rama, who is the reservoir of all happiness, please engage me in your service eternally. That is the meditation. Not Krishna, engage in my service. So Raghunath Das Goswamiji, you are chanting, and the result of your chanting is Krishna is coming to serve you, to guard you from tigers. And Srimati Radharani is coming to serve you, to keep you cool. So you should build a nice little house, kutir, where you can do your chanting and you can serve Krishna and he doesn't have to come to serve you. So that was the beginning of this, the system of bhajan kutirs for those who are doing bhajan. So Raghunath Das spent his life in this way. He spent many, many, many years at Radha Kund. And so many stories are there. At one time, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he was living in his home, and Nityananda Prabhu told him that you should go to Vrindavan, and there all of your desires will be fulfilled. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was living on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, and each day he would attend the wonderful discussions of Raghunath Das Goswami and hear the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And on the request of the Vaishnavas, it was on the banks of Radha Kund and Shama Kund that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the entire history and life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, entitled Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The most authentic, the most accurate, and the most philosophical of all books on the life of Lord Chaitanya. And it was written in that holy of all holy places. Jiva Goswami also did his bhajan there. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami also did his bhajan there. And as the years went by, Rupan Sanatan Goswami's left the planet. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, he was simply weeping and crying in ecstatic love and separation. And Nityananda Prabhu's consort, Janavadevi, came to Vrindavan. Janavadevi is none different than Lord Nityananda Prabhu. They are one person in two forms. Just as Radha and Krishna are one person in two forms. Nityananda is Balaram. But Nityananda also, to assist Krishna in his spiritual existence of Madhurya Ras, takes the form of Ananga Manjari. And it is understood that Janavadevi is Ananga Manjari, who is Srimati Radharani's younger sister. So, when Janavadevi came to Vrindavan, the village, she met Jiva Goswami and so many others. And Jiva Goswami said, Raghunath Das is simply immersed in so much separation. She said, I want to go to see him. By that time, it was practically years he hadn't even eaten or slept. He was just constantly engrossed in chanting Krishna's name. And it was very hard for the devotees to see Raghunath Das in this state. He couldn't even stand up hardly or walk. So when Janavadevi came, one of the devotees came and told the devotees at Radha Kund that she's coming. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was very old. He wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was in his mid-90s. And how humble he was. He wrote that I am old, I am invalid, I can hardly see, I can hardly hold this pen. How is all these beautiful words coming? It is not me. It is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealing himself through me. And Srila Prabhupada explains, any writer of transcendental literature or any preacher of transcendental knowledge should never think that I am speaking or I am writing. We should understand that we are just the instruments of those great personalities who are revealing themselves through us. So when Janavadevi came, Raghunath Das Goswami somehow or other jumped up and started going toward her. And when Janavadevi saw the love in his heart for Krishna and the Vaishnavas, she began to weep, and he began to weep, and he fell and worshipped her lotus feet. This wonderful, wonderful historical incident took place on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. And if you go to Radha Kund, there's a beautiful little tree which is called Janava Baitak, because she actually stayed there for some time, for some days, and she had her own little special place where she would take her bath in Radha Kund. And the Acharyas explained to us, it's in the Bhakti Ratnakara and other scripture, that in the spiritual world, when Radha Kund was first developed by Radha and Krishna, there was a garden for each of Radharani's close associates. But for her little sister, Ananga Manjari, she had a garden right in the center of Radhakund. And there was a crystal bridge that went from the bank to the center. And it was at that place where the bridge would come that Janava Devi made her bhajan kutir. And she did her bhajan and took her bath. And later on, after the six Goswamis and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and others disappeared from the world, it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who became, about 100 years later, he became the prominent acharya on behalf of the six Goswamis, and he also made his residence on the bank of Sri Radhakund. And he very much renovated and reestablished so much of what was being neglected due to the nature of time. And most of his beautiful commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam and his other great writings were also written in that place. So today, Bahulastami, we remember this very holy place and some of the great histories of the Lord and His devotees that took place there. And as this is all this wonderful culture, this wonderful heritage is made possible through the disciplic succession of great personalities. Srila Prabhupada has revealed the great richness of India's true spiritual heritage to all of us. And we are so fortunate, and we should be so grateful to have received it. As Radhakund and Shyamakund are non-different than Radha and Krishna, we should understand that the deities of the Lord are non-different than Radha and Krishna. That service to the Lord is non-different than Radha and Krishna. That hearing the glories of the Lord is associating directly and personally with the Lord. And by chanting Krishna's name, we can be in direct contact with the Lord. And through offenselessly and later purely chanting Krishna's names, all Krishna's pastimes are revealed to us by Krishna himself through the transcendental medium of his name. And this is the great gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. We should take very seriously all the opportunities we have to purify our hearts, to go on yatras with devotees to these various holy places is very important. Because actually we can perceive with our own senses the tangible historical significance of what we're putting our faith in. And in those holy places, we could remember the wonderful, wonderful activities of the Lord and devotees, not only that happened there, but are happening eternally. Because the Lord's pastimes are sometimes manifest to us and sometimes unmanifest, but they are eternally existing. By taking prasad together, devotees develop loving friendship and trust with one another, and it is all centered around Krishna in the form of prasad. It is a very sacred and holy act. We shouldn't just think that taking prasad is to fill our belly or to satisfy our tongue. It is the holy remnants of the Lord. And the most wonderful way to take prasad is with devotees. Because when you take prasad in the association of devotees, everyone is united around honoring Krishna. And we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to him this was very important, taking prasad with the Vaishnavas. serving prasad, seeing the devotees taking prasad together. Chaturvidhasri Bhagavat Prasad. Prabhupada was so happy to see devotees taking prasad together, because it unites our hearts in Krishna. So we should be conscious of the significance of everything Prabhupada has given us. And we serve together. Sankirtan means together. Whatever we do it together for the glorification of Krishna. When we have kirtan, we are performing the Yuga Dharma. We are receiving the ultimate mercy, the ultimate gift of God in this age of Kali Yuga. And when we have these wonderful festivals, we hear the glories of the Lord, we chant together, we take prasad together, it is simply wonderful. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. And by our enthusiasm and our gratitude, we should realize more and more the wonderful gifts Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and all the great acharyas have given us. It may be a struggle sometimes for us to get along together. It may be a struggle to even get along with our own mind together, what to speak of our senses. But if we just stay on the boat of the mercy of Krishna and the great spiritual masters, and we just stay on that boat together and continue sincerely to follow this wonderful path, we will find the ultimate joy of Krishna.